Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Reconcile the Podcast. We are so excited for this episode. We have such an amazing guest. He is a father, a husband, a photographer. He is also the CEO and founder of Sun Africa Studios. And above all, he is a man of faith. We are so excited to have Ben Kiruthi here with us today. Thank you to our pastor and friend, Kuria Maina, because he was able to hook us up. Yeah. So shout out to Kush. Yeah, so Ben, you can say hi to us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Natalie. So, and Rashera. My name is Ben Kiruthi. I am, as introduced, I am a Christian, a father, a husband, and an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I love the Lord as my personal Savior.
Hallelujah.
And I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. We're so grateful to God and also to you for accepting come onto the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
So before we get into now the serious, not serious, but serious icebreakers.
Yeah.
Let's start easy. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Night owl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You work at night. Is it that you work at night or...
I'm not a morning person. So I prefer working at night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So for the last, I think, 10 years, I've been a night owl.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If you could live anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. where would you live?
Dallas, Texas, in the US.
Why?
Why is because... we visited there last month.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we even identified even a lot of land whereby we'll build and stay. And so I really loved it. I loved the way, just loved everything about it.
Okay.
Other than the weather sometimes, but yeah. I loved everything. The roads, the people, everything. I just loved it so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Natalie?
If I could live any, I'd live in Cape Town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd live in South Africa for sure. For sure, for sure. I'd love to go to South Africa.
Oh.
Yeah. You'd be my dream destination.
Yeah. For me, at SCG, like probably like a tourist destination, just like Mauritius or Natalie. Yeah, but like Mauritius. I don't know why she's laughing. Can you share?
Mm-hmm.
One pivotal moment in your life that shaped who you are today?
I think the pivotal moment I can share is that the day I first saw my wife.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the day I decided to pursue her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... so we were in church. We were in a youth group in church. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a play. A Christmas play, I think
mm-hmm.
so. So when she walked in, me and my gang of buddies, we all saw her. And so we all decided to pursue her at the same time.
Mm.
By then, I'm the one who won. And so I think that is very pivotal in terms of the person who I married.
Mm.
Because other than my decision to follow Christ, I think that was the next most important decision that I made in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so far, 10 years on,
mm-hmm.
I think it was such a good decision.
Aww.
Yeah, and I also thank her for also choosing me.
Aww.
Yes,
that's such
yes.
a nice answer.
That's serious. Okay.
Just an honor marriage is at that point.
Okay. It feels so weighty.
Yeah.
It does.
If you were to retire, I'm assuming you're going to retire at some point.
Yes,
what
yes,
is
sir.
That one thing you're looking forward to do in retirement?
I think one thing I'm looking forward to retirement is us just traveling the world together.
No.
I think, and because hopefully the kids will be big enough. They won't need us so much. Yeah, and so I just want to have the financial freedom to travel around the world and visit, you know, those non-tourist destinations, kind of the places. So just to visit those areas.
Mm.
Yeah, and just enjoy together with no burdens of raising children.
Yeah.
We can spoil our grandkids by sending them M-Pesa once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I think I'm really looking forward to that.
Aww.
Yes.
That's such a nini. Like, yeah. I love how family, you love your wife so openly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
such an amazing thing to yeah. see in Thank this you. Day and age.
Thank yeah. you. Thank you so much. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. So, we'd love to know
yeah.
your background, like okay. how you grew up. Tell okay. us, did you grow up in a faith household? Mm-hmm. How was life mm-hmm. like growing up
okay.
for you?
So, I was born 40 odd years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In a hood called Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
So Zimmerman is the other side of town, mm-hmm. on the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was born and bred.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, my dad wasn't a believer,
mm-hmm.
but my mom was. So mm-hmm. from as early as I can remember, I just remember her reading a Bible
mm-hmm.
on her bed.
Mm-hmm.
And her instilling into us the Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read your Bible and pray every day.
Mm-hmm.
And also for her insisting that we need to go to church mm-hmm. and Sunday school
mm-hmm.
and perform.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a thing that we have to sing as a family. And so she always used to forward our names for presentations. And we used to really hate it. Yeah, but it really made a difference between because we began to fall in love with the church.
Then. Oh, wow.
And our first friends were from church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up there and I went to primary school here in Nairobi, high school here in Nairobi,
mm.
and uni in JKUAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I am a third born
mm-hmm.
in a family of three.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad they're now late,
mm.
and we got taken care of by my elder dad, my uncle, who took care of us.
Yeah.
So from when I was 15 years old.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until today. And okay. so I think that's in a nutshell, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. then, yeah. And so far, so good.
Okay. So yes. At what point,
mm-hmm.
so you grew up in the church.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide, okay, I'm going to give my life to Jesus?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
So in high school, As most young men,
mm-hmm.
I rebelled.
Mm.
You know, it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I rebelled, mm-hmm. and I got into clubbing, and drinking,
mm.
and a string of women, girls then,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that was my rebelling because I had grown up in church,
mm-hmm.
but I had to face God
mm.
now as an adult now.
Yeah.
Now it wasn't the faith of my parents.
Yeah.
It had to be my own faith.
Yeah.
And me finding God, I had difficulties there because mm. then my parents had just passed on.
Mm.
And so my whole idea was to make God feel the pain that I felt inside.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I rebelled
mm.
and I went to the other side of life.
Mm.
And so how I came back was mock exams. Form 4 second term. Yeah. It really mocked me. And I was like, man, you mean I can flunk in school? So before then, I was an A student.
Wow.
So I used to pass and club at the same time.
Oh.
So it was like I was cheating the system.
Mm.
So I could party during the holidays
mm-hmm.
and then pass
mm.
when it comes to classwork.
Mm.
But my mock exams, I really flunked.
Mm.
And it shocked me so much that it shocked me to the altar. And I got saved. And I got saved because I really, you know, we were growing up always told that you need to pass in
yeah,
school
yeah.
to become successful in life.
Yeah.
And so that shocked me. And during our challenge weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a group that came and they prayed for us from fours and I gave my life to Christ. But I just wanted to give my life to Christ.
To pass
the exams and then go back once I get the results. Yeah. But then... Yeah, something really happened on that stage.
Oh.
And the transformation began. And the things that used to really attract me now became repulsive to me. I couldn't stand them anymore.
Mm.
Now I began to really fall in love with the first love that I had for Christ.
Mm.
And so after Form 4, I just went back to youth group. I enrolled.
Mm.
And I got into ministry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I've never left.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's how I found Christ again for the second time.
Mm.
Yes, 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 yes.
Second time?
Yeah. So for the first time,
sour with your parents.
Yeah,
okay.
Now it was me now.
Oh,
it was
my own.
It was
wow.
for
real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I like how you said that because do you feel like how people knew you in high school and then how people, after you gave your life to Christ, do you feel like people are just like, you're joking?
Yeah.
Ama watu alikuwa tumpe time. Ama wow, you're really serious.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were like, Ben, you will just come back to the life that you had. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, everybody gives you time. Everybody tells you, by the way, miezi sita, you know, you'll be back. Mm-hmm. But even for me, I also gave myself time. I said, by the way, you know what? Oh. This thing is just for, because I still felt pain inside because of my parents.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was a real transformation. Mm. And God really transformed me. And so the guys who knew me in school and after, yeah, there was a real big change in me. Yeah. But I believe it was for the better. Mm. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Before I hand it over to Ashara, I have a question.
Yes, please.
How was it like dealing with the pain of losing your parents? Mm-hmm. And then now, did you ever feel like, okay, God, I hate you? Yeah. And how did he take you from that? Because I'm sure you don't feel like that right now.
Yeah, true, how was
that journey?
The journey. Mm. So thank you for that. So I think the journey was, one, it happened 2 months, they passed on 2 months apart.
Okay.
So I think for me, because now I understand now, I wasn't able to deal with the trauma. So I didn't mourn for them as I should have then, knowing now, because it was very shocking for me. Mm-hmm. And I think my mind, because of that aspect of pain, it hid a lot of things and swept them under the carpet, which came to blow up later on. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but they came to blow up later on. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I had to really deal with was the fact that my mom really loved God, and she lived her life in total dependence to God. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like my mom got punished. Mm. So that my young mind was then. Mm. She got punished for loving and serving God with her life. Mm. And so it was really hard for me to process that as a young man. Mm-hmm. So that's why now the outlets now became the clubbing, the drinking, and the partying, and the very many girlfriends. Mm. So for me to finally come to a point of acceptance, I think that was about three years later, accepting that, you know what, that even though, no matter how much I mourn, they will never come back.
Yeah.
So it's up to me now to get my life in order so that one day I can be able to see them in heaven.
Yeah.
And so that really, that really shocked me back to, now I have to now follow the God of my mother, and I have to now walk my own journey of salvation, knowing that even for me, one day I will stand before God and I will be answerable for the life that I lived. Mm. And that really scared me because I really wanted to see my mom again. Mm. And so that helped me now get back to the path of Christ and said that, you know what, I will continue the journey my mother walked. Mm. And that's how now I found myself back to God and now more passionate now than I was even before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tulifika apokwa, now you're doing your exams.
Yes, 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 yes.
I think a question we'd like to know, did you pass? How did that go? Oh. true.
Yeah, so I passed and I was called to campus. Mm. So in JQuad for my very first choice. Mm. So to do an engineering course.
Hey, you passed.
And so I was really excited because I was really scared of flunking because I'd been an A student all along, primary school and high school. Mm. And so for me, flunking really scared me. Mm. But then when I passed my KCSC and I was called for my very first degree, then now I was happy. Yeah. And now I was different because now I had Christ.
Yeah.
And now he was with me. Mm. And also I got to go to JQuad. JQuad was a dream campus for me. I'd always looked forward to go to JQuad because I wanted to do technology. Mm. And so me getting there was such a dream come true for me. Mm-hmm. Although the course wasn't all that. Mm. Yeah, well, that's a story for another day.
Yeah. So how did it move now? Because we know now you are a photographer.
Yes,
so did you do like the whole engineering 6 years and everything? And how did that shift from now engineering? Then boom, photography. Was it like an instant? One day you just decided, or was it gradual? Just take us through that.
Okay. Yeah. So my campus life, I didn't enjoy it very much because it was a lot of historical data, not really useful things that I can apply in the field.
Yeah.
And so to kill that boredom, I got involved in a dance group in church. Mm. We used to practice every day. Mm. So every day I used to skip afternoon class.
Dun, dun,
it is called skiving. So I used to skip afternoon class every day and then go for dance practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So it was fun. That kept me sane throughout the whole 6 years of campus. Mm. And then after I'd finished, now I felt called into dance ministry.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. interestingly. Mm. And so I felt that now I need to focus on dance, focus on serving God. Mm. But then that wasn't God's plan. And so I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I got a job in my field, in my line, because it's telco, telecommunications engineering. When I got a field, when I got a job there, I realized that now as a young man, to survive, I need money.
Mm.
As well to survive in Nairobi. And so I realized that the cost that I was doing, I needed to be able to make more money than I was making.
Mm.
And by then, the guys I saw who are kind of wealthy were all entrepreneurs. They all had their own businesses.
Yeah.
So I figured that I need to go and learn how to start and run a business.
Yeah.
So I enrolled for an MBA. My focus was entrepreneurship.
Mm.
And then I finished. And then that's when now God led me to photography. Mm. A very interesting story.
Can you tell us?
Yes.
Yeah. So one day, so I used to live in a place called Mirema.
Oh, yeah.
In a studio apartment.
Mm.
Or a bedsitter, for lack of a better word.
Studio apartment is studio. Fancy.
It's fancy. It's fancy. Yeah, fancy. It's very fancy. This is a bedsitter, yeah. You know? Yeah. And one day I was asking God, so God, what do I do with my life?
Mm.
And then God just led me to the story of Moses at the burning bush and how God asked Moses, what is it that you have in your hand?
Mm.
And then Moses had the staff.
Yeah.
And God said, that's what I'm going to use to liberate the Israelites, the staff that he had in his hand. And so God told me that. And then in my hand, I had a phone then and the phone had a camera.
Mm.
So by then I'd never ever pictured myself as a photographer. No. It was always that thing that I was like, God forbid.
Oh.
You know? Nimesoma sana.
Yeah.
You know, I have a master's. How can I become mtu wa picha?
Yeah.
But God was leading me there. And so I was really in conflict in terms of, so God, photography and me, I don't put those things together. I'm an engineer.
Mm.
You know, I have a master's. So but God said that is what I'm gonna use.
Mm.
And then I just began taking photos and putting them online. And that was Facebook then. And then from there, I began getting my very first customers.
Mm.
Yeah, people were like, Ben, I love your pictures. How much will you charge me for a shoot? And I began using my phone. It had a 2-megapixel camera.
You were shooting. People are telling you, I love your pictures.
Yeah.
And you're using a phone camera.
A phone camera, yeah, yeah. A 2-megapixel one. Not even these posh ones that we have nowadays.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
So probably for the somebody wondering, okay, Ben, how did God talk to you?
Yeah. Mm.
How was that exchange in that moment? Was it in that moment where God is like, okay, I want you to do this? Ama, it was gradual.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So at that time, I had not yet mastered to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
And I think why that question I think is very important is because people ask, so how do you know it is God?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and not
how do you know
feelings.
It is God? And it's not my feelings, or it's not what I want, just projecting itself, you know? And so one of the things that I realize is that God now doesn't speak in a loud, booming voice, as he did maybe in the Old Testament.
Mm.
But now I think God speaks through his word.
Mm.
That means that God will always speak something that is in his word. So I think one of the most important things, even for the guys who are watching, is to constantly be in God's word.
Yeah.
And God will highlight or bring to memory a scripture that you've read some time back, but it's going to be relevant for your situation.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're asking God, so God, who do I marry?
Then
God brings back a scripture in your mind, you know? And you remember that scripture at that particular point in time. Now that is God. Because the devil will never remind you of a scripture.
Yeah.
I came to realize that he will never put a scripture in your hand. He will put something else that, you know, like if you're asking, so who do I marry? Then the devil reminds you of Kevo. and then Kevo, he's a guy of the world. He drinks, he clubs. You know, that cannot be God.
Yeah,
you understand?
No.
Because God will always bring you back to the scripture. Do not be unequally yoked.
Mm.
And you remember that, by the way, even though I love Kevo, that is not God's choice for me. So that's just a bad example, but you get it, yeah? So I think God always spoke to me, even when I did not know, through him bringing to mind scriptures that I'd read before. But at that particular point in time, you know, the story of the burning bush, it means many things to different people.
Yes.
At different points in your life.
Yeah.
So at that particular point in time, when God reminded me, what do you have in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Then it made sense to me then.
Mm.
And I realized that was God.
Mm.
Because it wasn't something that I would have thought about.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't even a passion.
Yeah, yeah.
It just came into my mind.
Yeah.
And then looking back now over the last 14 years,
mm-hmm.
I know that was God.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So what I'm wondering is, yeah. Okay, so now God has given you that, like,
yes.
you're getting clients,
yeah, yeah.
Things are happening, the ball is rolling.
Yes,
but
yes.
I can imagine for most of us, maybe God has given you a business idea,
mm-hmm.
and you can imagine how hard it would be, especially for someone who maybe you're not sure, is this God, is this not God?
Yeah.
So maybe you try it out, it doesn't work out,
yeah.
or you don't even get to start. So my question is, did it get to a point where, by the way, you were wondering, is this God? Is this God that spoke? Amma, this was just me. You know, sometimes with the hardships, the trials and everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's very nice, Washera.
Mm.
One of the things that God has reminded me as you've asked that question is the story of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So God tells Abraham then to leave his father's land and his father's people to go to a land that he would show him.
Mm.
And so Abraham moves out with his wife and his nephew and everything that he had.
Mm.
And then they go to a land called Canaan that he thought God was leading him to.
Mm.
What the Bible says, when they got to Canaan, Canaan had a drought.
Mm.
You know,
the
promised land was in drought.
Mm.
A drought so bad that there was no food for them and food for their animals.
Mm.
You know,
and
then now I can imagine Abraham saying, but God, you told me to come here, you know.
Yeah.
This is the promised land.
Yeah.
Why is there a drought in the area that you've told me to go?
Mm.
And you know, for very many of us, that is part of that is part of the dream.
Yeah.
That when you follow God, you know, you always assume that I will always find milk and honey in plenty, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you get there, you find a drought.
Mm.
Or like the Israelites, you got there and you find people have already occupied and you have to fight them.
Mm.
That always happens when you follow that thing that God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can mistake the difficulty for mishearing God.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, God, did I really hear you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm here and it's hard. I have no clients.
Mm-hmm.
I have no business. So for me, like my very, very first year in business, one, I took a loan to buy a camera and then I began paying out the camera. And then the third last payment for the camera, I failed.
Mm.
And the camera was repossessed, you know.
Mm.
And then I borrowed a camera for a wedding I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera got stolen when I was going to Mombasa from my bag. So now I have to pay back a camera that got stolen.
Yeah.
And then I have to now save up to buy my own camera.
Yeah.
You know, and that time I was really questioning. I was like, God, did I hear you right? Am I really in your path, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that difficulty must come. Because in life, there's nothing that is worthwhile that you'll take it easy.
Mm. Yeah.
Even the Israelites, for them to get the promised land, they had to fight,
you
know, and there were giants, you know, how hard it was.
Mm.
So for everybody who is there, I think one of the best advice I can give you is that persevere and consistency.
Mm.
Yeah. Just keep showing up.
Mm.
Until it breaks. Mm. Just keep persevering until it breaks.
Mm.
Everyone must break.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
And in those times that you would feel like, okay, God, is this you? Is this? I wonder, was God like affirming you and being like, okay, Ben, this is what I said.
Yeah.
This is what I said.
Yeah.
Was it that or was it just silence and you're just there confused?
Yeah.
You don't have money.
Yeah.
Maybe clients are not showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Camera maybe you are like, how was that?
Yeah.
Was God speaking?
God speaking.
Mm.
No, God just spoke that once.
Wow.
And he never did again. Yeah, he never did again.
Same.
He never affirmed me. There was no, you know, like Israelites, there was a cloud of fire and a pillar of smoke to remind them that it's God is leading them.
Mm.
It was never there.
Mm.
In fact, it was oddly silent as I went through the journey. It was so oddly silent that for me, I assumed that maybe God is punishing me for hearing him wrong, you know.
Mm.
And it was oddly silent. God never spoke at all.
Mm.
And I think one of the things that really kept me going was I was watching one day family TV and someone said that what did God tell you last? Continue doing the last instruction that God gave you.
Wow.
Until he tells you something different, continue doing it.
Yeah.
So I can imagine Abraham. Abraham was just told to leave.
Yeah.
And then he just started walking,
yeah.
you know, not knowing, am yeah. I supposed to head east, west,
yeah.
south? Mm. But what he knew is that God told him to leave.
Mm.
And I think that's what you should hold on to. What did God tell me last to do?
Mm.
And God will let you.
Mm.
And because I think you have to have faith
yeah.
that even though I can't see him or I can't hear him, I know that he is with me.
Wow, I feel like that's such a whole dimension of faith. Just because sometimes we just expect, okay, if this is God, he's going to speak again. Mm. He's going to affirm, he's going to, but it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
True.
Well, as you're just speaking, there's so many Bible stories that are coming to mind, but I remembered the story of the two fish and five loaves of bread.
Yes.
And sometimes, so you've done it's engineering.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've gone done an MBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now God is just like, okay, Ben, that is not the path that I have for you.
Mm.
I want you to come this way. And sometimes we can think that what we have is too little, like photography. Mm. I mean, as in, it's not in the world. You can't compare it to engineering.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'm sure by it feels like it's like doing medicine, and I don't know, being a secretary. It just feels incomparable.
But then
God is like, no, this whatever I have for you, I will. I feel so.
Yeah.
God is good. So at this point, when you've left now where you were working before, were you married or you aren't?
No, I wasn't.
Or you aren't married? Okay. Because I wanted to ask, how was that? Now you've left your job, but you and Gathon, you are dating. Were you dating then?
We were dating.
Wow. My mind is so... I'm just so blessed. I'm feeling like, okay, God, I will trust you. I will walk with you.
Yeah.
You've started. Now you're walking your photography journey.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's not easy. Maybe can tell us maybe moments that you just really had to lean on God and just trust that he will take care of me. He's called me.
Yeah.
He will take care of me.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I wish there was a nice story to it. Because trusting God is very ugly.
It is.
I think I always wish it was about complete and total reliance on him.
Mm-hmm.
And no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that was a story that I had, but for me, trusting God has been a very ugly journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been like the way Jacob was wrestling with God.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine has always been the wrestle.
Yeah.
Has always been the wrestling between what I know versus what God wants for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like, God, just let me run my life. I think I can do a better job than you.
Yeah.
You know? Because you always seem to be like, one, you have no sense of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have no sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
You have no sense of the thing that I want. So yesterday we watched a movie with Gathoni, which was a really incredible movie on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about some girl who is given a wish. I'm sure you guys have watched it.
It's called?
A wish. I think it's called something wish.
Oh, okay.
So she wishes that she was marrying the crush of her life.
Mm.
And so she's granted the wish.
Mm.
And then when she gets to live that life, she gets to realize, by the way, man,
goodbye.
This was not it. You know, this was not it. And I think for me, it's always been that way, is that I always wonder, the road not taken.
Mm.
Where would that road have led? Mm. And every time God is like, you know, Ben, for me, my plan for you is for best. Because you can't see the future. You just see now.
Yeah.
You just see now, you know. Mm. For example, one time I was very heartbroken before I met Gathoni. So heartbroken. I was like, God, she's gone.
Mm.
And God, because she's gone, my life has no meaning.
Yeah.
Because all my eggs were in her basket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And God was telling me, Ben, no, I have something better for you, you know.
Mm.
And when I met Gathoni, I was like, God, thank you, you didn't answer my prayer. You know, thank you, you didn't answer my prayer. So I think for me, trusting God, the journey of trusting God has always been that fight that I've had within me of me trusting God's plan over my own effort.
Mm.
And you know, like the way that verse that says, be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
how much is still, you know?
Yeah.
That still means you can still send some applications, you
yeah.
know?
Oh, yeah.
Or just still means just sit down, chill, yeah. and wait on God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've always had that battle of.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So how much, so where should human effort end and God's intervention start?
Yeah.
Where do I stop? Where do I stop God and where do I trust you?
Mm.
And so God has always been, there's always been that fight. Because it's such a big gray area that it's not black and white.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so big. And I've always been, God, I want this. I want this now.
Mm.
God is like, Ben, wait. And I'm like, God, but man, time in the end, man. Time is going, man. I'm 40. Man, God, I need to be a billionaire by 60. So all these things, you know. And God is like, Ben, just trust me.
Mm.
And trust me has been for me like flying blind.
Mm.
Not knowing where I'm going.
Yeah.
And God has always shown me just the next step.
Yeah.
You know, just the, where I need to step,
yeah.
God just shows me there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, am I on the wrong staircase?
Yeah.
Is my ladder up the wrong wall? You know, I can be walking up this wall, but I need to see, God, what's up there?
Yeah.
God is like, I'll just show you the next step.
Yeah.
And you just obey the next step that I show you.
Mm.
And that has been very hard.
Mm.
And it doesn't get better with age, you know? Or even with experience.
No.
God, I know you did it, but now, God, this is different.
Yeah.
And so that has always been God just showing me just the next step. Ben, I want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I take the step, and then God showed me the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I look back, I'm like, oh, by the way, I've come from there.
Mm.
Oh, wow, God has brought me up from there. And I'm like, God, I thank you for me really listening to you. But then again, also, as I finish, is that God is still writing the story. I don't have the benefit, like all of us, of hindsight. You know, like the way you can read Joseph's story, and you can see there was a palace, you know? But when Joseph was there, he was in the pit. But he didn't know that his story will end up in the palace.
Yeah, that's true.
And that had to be of him trusting God through the pit, through Potiphar's wife, and through prison, up to the palace. That had to be a journey of him trusting God even when he was blind. Even he couldn't see how the whole story would map up. So for me, I think I'm in the journey of, I'm still somewhere, maybe I'm in Potiphar's house, you know, fighting Potiphar's wife. And I don't know if there's a palace somewhere at the end of the story. But God is like, Ben, I want you to trust me for today. Just for today. Even though you don't know where this ends, just trust me for today. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's such a good like example, because we are always so quick to be like, yeah, trust God. Yeah, have faith in God. But actually seeing someone who has gone through it is
going through it.
Is going through it as well.
It's
wow, such an honor to have you. Again, it's another, it's very, as well, exciting, because you are in the photography industry and you are born again. I think, Natalie, a question we'd wanted to know is that, because we always assume as in, oh, we have been called, we're into the fivefold, you know, like pastors, apostles, but you are still reigning as a king and priest unto our Lord.
Yeah.
In this industry. So how has that been? Like, have you always thought like, okay, this is gonna be my space, like in the photography, even now and even to date? Or have you always been like, okay, this is my ministry, photography is my ministry, this is how I reconcile people to Christ? Or I don't know, have you I don't know.
Oh, wow, nice question. Yeah, because for me, I believe this, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that Christians are meant to be a light. And you know, when you're in church, there are a lot of lights in church. Very bright.
True.
So sometimes when you're there and you're a light, you do not see the effect of your light until you go to the darkness.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why Christians are called, we have to be a city placed on a hill or salt that hasn't lost its saltiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, and for me, I believe God calls every Christian to the marketplace. To the marketplace. Because you know, a pastor can only be one, you know? So, and since all of us are trying to become pastors, but God has placed you in your own field. wherever God has called you, even in social media, imagine, that can still be your congregation. And for me, I believe that all of us who are called as Christians have to take over the great commission for Matthew 28. All of us have to take that as not just a call for the pastors, but a call for all of us. Because you see, God didn't say, and now this is only for the disciples, or this is only for the high priests. He said to all of us, you know, the great commission. And so for me, I believe that whatever field that God has placed you in, go there and be a light. If it is, if you have 5 followers on TikTok, be a light to them. If you have, if you have 5 employees, go be a light to them. Because maybe the world cannot see Jesus, or cannot see God, but they can see us, you know. So if they see us, how will they desire to have the Christ who lives in us? Because, you know, that's exactly it. And for me now, being a parent is hard because I have to be the Jesus in that home, you know. And these children who are looking up to me, they have to see me, you know. They even see my browsing history. Just imagine that. They see the videos that I watch on YouTube. They see that. They see the text that I receive. And now, and that for me is ministry, because they actually get to see me walk the daily journey of Christianity.
Wow, yeah.
Or even they get to see me love my wife. They get to see me fight, but fight fair.
Yeah.
They get to see me love her even when it is ugly.
Yeah.
They get to see that. And for me, I believe for all of us, that is our call as we go into the field that God has called you to. Maybe not the fivefold ministry, but whatever people God puts around you, then that becomes your ministry. So for me, I've always taken photography as that. That there's no separation between work and ministry. It is all blended in one. And for me, if I can use something, like like I put on my email signature, that verse that says, for, how does it say? Let me paraphrase. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that becomes my email signature, something as simple as that. And wherever that email goes, be it to me, to Indians, to Muslims, they get to read that. Instead of just reading about my company logo and tagline, they can read that. And that edifies them, or that challenges them in one way or the other. And so I believe everybody can be a minister in whatever field that God has placed them in.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because sometimes we usually idolize those fivefold, like apostles and evangelists and everything, but it's such a beautiful thing to see as well. When you go, God can still use you.
True.
Okay, so as we come to a conclusion, I was talking to a friend of mine, and so she was telling me how, you know, Ben is such a brand. So you, Washara has happened to mention it, that you, we know for a fact that you've really been, I don't know if you feel like that, but from outside looking in, you are really excelling. You've really been doing such an amazing job.
Thank you.
And we hope that we can afford you for one day. But you've really been doing such an amazing job as a believer. So you see, the thing about the world is, ama what you usually hear is, ah, Christians kuomba wataomba, lakini when it comes to excellence and, you know, putting in like proper
work,
it's very different. So my question is, for us who are growing, I'm sure you're also growing, but walk on level 10, sit on level 2 as you are growing, what key things do you feel like as believers when it comes to growing ourselves, growing our work ethic, growing whatever, what would you tell, what would you tell Ben 10 years ago?
So I really love observing the Indians, and because I've shot a lot of Indian weddings, I get to see them in their faith and even in their work. And what I've realized about them is that if only Christians were half as serious as them, I think we'll go very, very far in life. That Indians, when it comes to their faith, they are completely sold out. When it comes to their faith, they do the whole 9 yards. Even the little ones, you'll find them bowing down in the temple and praying. And when it comes to work now, the kind of work ethic they have, that for me, I've never had a meeting with an Indian during working hours. Never. Mm. As in, nobody will say, by the way, you know, and if it's a Christian, they're like, no, let's meet during, you know, during lunchtime, or I can help our work and come and meet you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They are completely serious when it comes to their work.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, someone told me, Ben, you know, pray as if it all depends on your prayers and work as if it all depends on your work.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You know? Mm. And that gives me faith because the way we work is how we are, is how we portray our God.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that our work becomes a good, it's like we're ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambassador, and our ambassadorship will be judged by how much we work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you give a Christian work, they will always lean on the uni ndugu, uni dada.
Mm-hmm.
So now they will do a shoddy job just because they know that, well, we are from the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what I have come to realize is that if I am supposed to work, whatever field God has called me to work in, I should be working as if I am doing it for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As if God is the one who is my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because He is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm serving customers, God is the one who gives me promotion.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one who teaches my hands to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
It's God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and for me, if I'm doing it as worship, yeah, that's a good word, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To do your work as a worship towards God, then God will honor you.
Yeah.
Because there's something that Solomon always insists in Proverbs, which is a word called diligence.
Mm.
And diligence is a very deep word.
Mm.
But one of the things that I can say is that diligence is really lacking in the body of Christ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That we are more of doing things for the sake of doing them instead of doing them diligently as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things of diligence is that there has to be a mastery.
Yeah.
In whatever it is that God has called you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be the very best. Just because you have the name of Christ on you should be enough motivation because you're representing the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So do it the very, very best. That for me, I don't want you to book me because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. Book me because I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
That's why I can be booked by people who are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can come and say, you know what, Ben?
Yeah.
I'm booking you not because of your faith, but I'm booking you because of your work.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wow, you mean you're also a believer? That's so good to hear.
Yeah.
To hear that someone can do such a wonderful job and then still be a believer. Because for me, I believe is that we are called to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to use our work as a form of worship towards God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're beginning, pray and fast and go and work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go and do the job.
Yeah.
Go and work.
Mm-hmm.
As in, come to church and serve God, but Monday to Friday, honor your work.
Mm.
Don't do shortcuts.
Mm.
Don't be online when you're supposed to be working for your boss.
Mm.
Work at it.
Mm.
Let me finish by this story.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, I think it was a parable.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really remember what parable it was for.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was saying that if you are not careful of someone else's work, do you think God will give you your own work?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's the same thing. If you're not careful where you work, do you think God will give you your own business?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, if you're cutting corners, you know, if you're pocketing extra change, God will never give you your own business.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think is that it's a challenge for us guys, as Christians, is that our work represents our work. We are ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah.
Even in the marketplace.
Yeah.
That nobody should ever come to me and say, Ben, you know, I won't sue you because you're a Christian, but you've done a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to say, Ben, you know what? I love the way you work and I love to see that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a very good point of ministry for them to see, you know what, Ben, is that I get to honor God with my work and I get to honor God with my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Feels like a whole masterclass or something. Something like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking your time to just be here. We feel so grateful.
Yeah.
Honestly, we feel so grateful to God and also to you for giving us your time today. You can close with us with a word of prayer.
Okay.
Close for us with a word of prayer.
Yeah. So before I close, there's something that you mentioned about about the 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Uh-huh.
And I think it really resonated to me because I really believe that God is a God of small beginnings.
Mm.
And that a lot of us, because what we have is so small, we discredit its importance.
Mm.
And I think that's why God will always start you small.
Mm-hmm.
God will always start you. You know, like the motivation speakers, they say that now, me began with one stone, the hardware. Yeah, but I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
God always begins you when you're small.
Mm-hmm.
And God uses that. For me, I say is that you give it to God and say, God, you know, this is all I have.
Mm-hmm.
God, I have 100 shillings. I want to begin a business. Mm-hmm. Just give it to God. And God will say, God is going to use that small for his glory.
Yeah. Because
at the end of the day is that God doesn't want to share his glory with another.
Yeah.
God will always want to take all the credit.
Mm.
And so whatever small thing that God has placed in your hand to do, whatever small gift, whatever small talent you have, whatever small thing that you have, you take it to the master.
Mm.
And God is going to use that.
Mm.
No matter how small it is.
Mm.
For example, if you have 5 followers, begin that podcast.
Mm.
You know, begin it.
Mm.
And God is going to grow that from small to big.
Yeah.
But don't think that God, I need to bring to you something that is big, something that is well developed.
Mm.
Just bring it to God, no matter how small it is, and God is going to use that and use that for his glory and for his name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Thank you.
So allow me to pray and then we shall finish. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, God. We thank you, God, for the time that, God, we have shared together, God, in the podcast with Natalie and Washera. And Father, we thank you, God, that you have use these two wonderful ladies, oh God, to spread your word, oh God, and to reach to those, God, who cannot be reached, oh God. And Father, we pray that, God, even as they be faithful with what you have placed in their hands, Father, I pray that, God, you may honor them, oh God, and that you may bless the work of their hands, that, God, they may reach multitudes, oh God, for your kingdom and for your name. I pray for them also, God, that, God, the desires that they have in their hearts, that, God, you may bring it to pass. That, Father, may you use this podcast, God, for your glory and for your name. May you take it, oh God, to nations, oh God, to cities, to countries, oh God, that God, people may hear this good word, oh God, and may give you glory and honor. And Father, I pray that God, at the end of the day, God, and all is said and done, all the glory and all the honor will go back to thee. We thank you, God, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we believe and pray.
Amen.
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 And that's the thing about Ben Kiruthi. That's the thing about
Ben Kiruthi.
Thank you everyone for watching. We will see you next Wednesday.
Have you told people to subscribe?
Subscribe. Subscribe. Share. Like.
Comment.
All those good things.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I think I'm going to watch this thing again and again and again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yay.